Good morning.
Good morning. I'm just taken of how things develop and in bringing something like this together, because I'm just here to fill in for Pastor because he is away this weekend. We have some people here today in this little congregation here that know who got married yesterday. Joy Christensen and Michael Jarvis down in Wichita area. Both of these people were students at Cornerstone Bible Institute in past years, and so we know them. I think both of them are probably in down here at least some of the time. I think Michael worked with the young people a little bit. But yesterday, the reason I'm here is because of a wedding. The wedding has to do with love. It has to do with the love of two people coming together. And when I thought about something to do for this occasion, this subject came up to me. And you know these words very well. Kevin read them to you just now from John chapter 21. It has to do with a conversation between Jesus, the resurrected, glorified Christ, at the time this conversation took place, and our Savior Jesus Christ, and Peter, the lead disciple of the band of disciples. So we're going to talk about that today. But first of all, I'll have a word of prayer. Let me get into a little introduction, some background scripture to set up this occasion about which Kevin read you these verses this morning. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the truth behind what we're going to look at today. And we pray, Lord, that your spirit might use these words in every one of our lives, as I know he has done it in my life, as I have prepared these thoughts. And I ask that he might meet with us today in a very special way. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to open up first to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. This is 3.5 years before the occasion that we read about in John 21. And it is it has to do with the calling of Peter. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 1-11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of... Oh, wait a minute. That's... chapter 5, yes, verse 1-11. That is, the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him that he should thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the boat. Now when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. That's an interesting point. Remember that. The net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners who were in the boat, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fish which they had taken. And so were also James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Remember that, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. This was the calling of some of Jesus' early disciples, which included Simon Peter. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew 26, verses 30 to 35. Matthew 26, verse 30. Now, this is has to do with Jesus, the life of Jesus, about 3 years, 3.5 years later after that early experience. And Jesus was still with us in this world as a human being before he was crucified and so forth. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am raised up again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me 3 times. Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 26, the same chapter, over at verse 69. And we'll read 69 to 75, the same night. "Now Peter sat outside in the court with a maid, and a maid came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus in Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him that was there, This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath." Peter swore, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." "And after a while came unto him, that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." "Your accent gives you away," he said. "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who said unto him, Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me 3 times. And he went out, and he wept bitterly." Now, the third little piece of background scripture is to be found in John chapter 20. We want to go on to John chapter 20, Gospel of John chapter 20. We're getting closer to our text now. John chapter 20. And these are the three post-resurrection appearances of Jesus to the disciples that are given in the Gospel of John. It's important, it's so helpful to see this because of our text. Okay? John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. This is after Jesus had risen again, and it says, "Then the same day at the evening," same day as the resurrection, "being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut,
where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, just drop down a few verses to John chapter 20, verse 26. What happened there was Jesus talked to them, but Thomas wasn't there. John chapter 20 and verse 26. And after 8 days, his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach here thy finger, and behold my hands, reach here thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, My Lord and my God. The second appearance. Then turn to John chapter 21. We're getting to our text now. John chapter 21. And we're going to read verses 1 to 11. And after these things, John 21:1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this manner showed he himself. There were together, watch this now, Simon Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. 7 disciples were there. Simon saith unto them, I go fishing. Then say they unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth, and they entered into the boat, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Recall the first experience of Jesus in the boat and the fish and all that. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, Have you any food? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, which is the Apostle John, the apostle whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, that's about 100 yards off the land. They were about 100 yards out, and dragging the net with fish. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid on it. And Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fish, 153, although there were so many. Here we go. Yet the net was not broken. Seven disciples, Peter, Thomas, James and John, Nathanael, and two others. 7. And they're going to hear a very amazing little conversation with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. They had been with him for 3.5 years. And they, at first, when they saw him there on the shore, they didn't recognize who it was, but John did. And John said, This is Jesus. And they're about to have a very amazing conversation. We want to look at that today. The title is, Lovest Thou Me? Lovest Thou Me? That's what he said. And the proposition is, Lovest Thou Me? But it shifts. The proposition shifts from them to you. at me? Lovest thou me? I want you to think about that. Now we're going to look at this little section about this conversation. And I want you to see through the whole thing that the question deals with a personal attachment to a personal Christ. A personal attachment to a personal Christ. That was what he was talking about with them, these disciples there, and by extension extends to us today. So we're going to talk about that. First of all, the invitation of Jesus to seven disciples to eat with him on the shore. Come and dine, my version says. Kevin read, come and eat breakfast with me. Just come and have breakfast with me. And on the shores of the Sea of, it says the Sea of Tiberias in my translation, it's the Sea of Galilee. And notice verses 12 to 14 again. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was Jesus, was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. We read about the first two, meeting with the disciples before Thomas was there, 8 days later meeting with the disciples with Thomas there in the room, the closed room where he just appeared. And now this is the third time that is recorded in the Gospel of John. Okay. Now, and now we come to the words of Jesus to Peter. And you know these are very familiar verses, but I want us to think about some things here. First of all, we'll just read them again. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, my translation says, feed my sheep. But Kevin was correct. It has to do with tend my sheep or tend my sheep or nurture my sheep. Third time, verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest yet all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Words seem very simple, very straightforward. Peter, do you love me? Or in the older translation, lovest thou me? There's a lesson here for every one of us today. First of all, the lesson is for believers. This was resurrected Christ. This was seven of his disciples. They were there, and by the way, when he gave this little talk with Peter, the other disciples were there too. He didn't dismiss them. They were there, and he was talking basically to Peter, but the others were there too. And the lesson is for believers. It's not a way to get saved. Do you love Jesus? Oh, I love Jesus. You can say that all day long, and that does not save you. You probably hear talk to people, whether they're young or old, I love God. That does not save us. It's not a way to get saved. If you're not saved by loving God or loving Jesus, you're saved by believing the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, John 3:16, various verses. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And if we believe that he died for my sins, he sang in the special music this morning. Love so amazing. He died for my sin. He will save us. That is the gospel. Jesus is talking to Peter today about something else. If you are a believer, however, these three words, lovest thou me, are for every one of you and for me. Lovest thou me? And it happens after Jesus died, crucified, died, buried, rose again, met with his disciples. This is the third time. And he's saying this. He says, these words, lovest thou me, for every one of you, for all of us, for every believer, and begins with me. Somebody has said the acid test of any believer today in the pulpit or in the pew, in the home or in the school, on the mission field or in any other Christian ministry, is their answer, my answer, your answer to the question of the risen, living Christ. Lovest thou me? Love me. You love me. Love for the Lord Jesus is the motive for service. Love for the Lord Jesus is the prerequisite for service. How in the world can we serve Jesus if we don't love him? And of all the things Jesus was getting ready, this is some of the last, this is John chapter 21, the last chapter. And then Jesus is getting ready to ascend back into heaven. And this is one of the final charges that he gives to his disciples who became apostles. And he says, lovest thou me? Do you love me? Again, notice the words of Jesus. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? That was the exact way he approached Peter 3.5 years ago when he first met him in the boat. And the fish. And all that. Simon, son of Jonah. Because Peter had dissed him. Peter had denied him. We read the three denials. And Peter bragged. These other disciples, they might give. They might go back. They might deny you, but never me. And he, the leader of the disciples, the lead always in every list of the disciples, Peter is first. Not all the disciples agreed with that, but that's the way it comes down to us. Peter was the lead. And he was the one that denied the Lord so terribly. Again, our Lord asked Peter whether he had a love for him personally, or to put it another way, whether he had a personal love for a personal Christ, because Jesus is the God-man. Now, God, we believe that God is three persons in one God. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Before the incarnation of Jesus, God was the Spirit. Three persons, one a God in the form of the Spirit. But Jesus came down and was incarnated in a human being. Now he is the God-man. He's the God-man. And Jesus, before he's getting ready within literally days to ascend into heaven, he says these words. Peter, do you love me? In the presence of these other disciples, so they could get it too. They could hear it too. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you have a personal love for my person? That sounds a little awkward, kind of stilted to talk like that. But Jesus is a human being, right? He's a God, but he's a human being. And he says, Peter, do you love me? And he gave these three questions. Now, a personal application today for each one of us. And again, like I say, beginning with me, because this has stretched my heart too, just thinking about this, but think about it now. First of all, love to the person, Jesus Christ, may be absent from our heart. Might be.
Jesus asked the question. Peter is the lead disciple and all of that. But Jesus asked him the question. Does that kind of stretch your credulity if Jesus were to ask you that question? So-and-so, do you love me? Do you love me? Jesus himself asked this question to his lead disciple. And he asked it three times. He was trying to emphasize something. And sitting around on the beach with the lady that just had the breakfast and all that, he's sitting around and they're listening too. He said, what if Jesus met you today and asked you this question? Lovest thou me? Because the question really applies to any believer. And shame on us if we say, who is he to ask me that? Look what I've done. Look at the life I've lived. Peter lived a life too. Not perfect, but then none of ours are perfect. But Jesus asked him that question. No outward religiousness, religious activity, renders the inquiry needless. Peter did a lot of things. Jesus still asking the question. The enjoyment of Christian privileges does not render the question unnecessary. Jesus thought it was very necessary. He asked him three times. Nor does the greatest warmth of zeal in Christian activity prevent the necessity of this question. He said, pour it out for God. I can, spend my life. I've been in Africa, I've been a pastor in it, I've been up at school and all this. I can pour it out. But still, he can ask me the question. Bill Baxter, do you love me? Do you love me? One of the commentators on this situation made this comment. Peter was a red-hot disciple. He was a leader. He was in the middle. He, when you read the epistles of Peter at the end of the Bible, the New Testament, as you get into 1 and 2 Peter, you see, Peter said, we were the witnesses. I was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw Jesus glorified. And other things he said. And a believer's greatest self-denial does not prove that he doesn't need that question. What have you denied for Jesus? What have you poured out in your life in order that something might go forward for Jesus? You know something? It really doesn't matter. He can still ask you the question. And this was the question that he gave to his disciples at the last days before he ascended back into heaven. And before they then were turned, the gate was opened for, first of all, the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the church, and then Peter preaching to the Gentiles in Caesarea, and it's open to the Gentiles and the missionary journeys, and Christianity was off as a worldwide religion. Religion of truth, but worldwide. Now, the greatest education does not necessarily demonstrate it, your love for Jesus. Isn't it tragic that so much of the error in churches today rolls down out of seminaries to the minds and voice of preachers and teachers who are vastly educated and have several doctorate degrees and all of that? That doesn't mean that they love Jesus. Another commentator said, to know is good, education and all of that, but to love is better. Peter must be asked. Jesus believed that. Peter must be asked this question. And you and I must be asked this question. Lovest thou me? That is the first part. The first thing to deal with. Love to Jesus
may be absent from our life, in spite of everything else. Do we love Jesus, the unique God-man, the one who died for us, the one who sent his Spirit to indwell us so that we could understand this word and live it? We must have love to the person of Christ, or nothing is right for the future. For all of us, it's from the future here onward. The first, the second, and the third qualification for a true Christian concerning the future is a loving heart. Otherwise, why did Jesus ask the question three times? Why did he ask it? It was something that he wanted them to understand. You cannot work for Jesus if you do not love him. Oh, teacher, I love Jesus. Do you? What did Peter answer him? Lord, you know that I love you. So he said, Peter, do you love me? And we get into this story about this passage, you know, that a lot of commentators talk about. Jesus used the word agape, which is strong love, just for simplicity, strong love. Peter used he used the word for more like. And some of the newer commentators that I read said that's not the issue here. He says, because in other places Jesus exchanged those words too when he talked about love. I'm not a Greek scholar, but the thing is that we understand that. But the question that we want to think about here is, we must have love for the person of Christ, or nothing is right for the future. You cannot work for Jesus if you do not love him. Love for Jesus must be in the heart of the true servant. It must be in the heart of true service. It cannot come, must be in the heart of the servant, or true service cannot come from the hands or the mind of the personality. Love for Jesus enables you to keep going. A lot of times, you know, I don't have to tell you, we've got some senior people here, and I don't have to tell you that sometimes we get tired. And sometimes circumstances around us, we try everything we know to address some circumstances, and they don't get better. How do we keep going? How do we keep going? Love for Jesus enables you to keep going. Many things in the Christian life are impossible without love for Jesus. Without the love, this love, you are without the transforming force, the perfecting elements, because these realities only come from him. So we need to love him. We need to love him. So, you must have love to the person of Christ, or nothing is right for the future. Jesus was going away. That's why he said this to these disciples. He was going away. And understand, most of these disciples died violently. It's amazing that this whole passage about this meeting with Peter and Jesus is in the Gospel of John and nowhere else. It's only in the Gospel of John. And John is considered the apostle of love. And John, think about it. You look in 1 John, that amazing book. He talks over and over again about the love of God and loving Jesus and all of that. And he's only a few more verses in this chapter 21, and he says, I'm done. And he says, you could fill the world with books about things about Jesus, but this is what I wrote. But he put this in. I think it's very important for us. And if you do love him, if you do, we're going to close now. If you do love him, if you really do love Jesus, what then? Simple. If you do love Jesus, then let's do something about it. Let's do something. And I know we get into all this stuff about we're saved by grace and not by works and we can't work our way to heaven and all of this stuff. That's true. Salvation is by grace. But we have a limited time in this world, and the world is going pell-mell in the wrong direction now, and we know about that. And the thing is that if I love Jesus, then I need to do something about it now. Whatever he leads me to do. Wherever the love for Christ resides, there is a desire for activity. If you love Christ, what are you doing? What are you doing? Put love for Christ to work, and you will love with power, and God will bless you for Jesus' sake. My brothers and my sisters, that is not works. We say, do something. We open our life up to Jesus that he might work through us to do something. And he provides the needs, and he provides the wisdom, and he provides the power, and he provides the patience and all of that to deal in messy situations. Jesus said, feed my lambs, the little ones. This church is the same as any other church. It struggles sometimes to get people to work with the little ones. I had a church in California. I struggled too. We struggled too. Get people to work with the little ones. He said, feed my sheep or tend my sheep. That's the older ones. That's us sitting in here today. He said, feed my sheep. He's feed us. We're so blessed in this place. One of the most amazing chapters in my life is the 5 years now that I've come down here to this place. We've got a man here in this place that feeds you. I believe it's because he loves you. He loves Jesus, and he loves that man. There, he loves you. And sometimes he gets a little edgy, doesn't he? And you say, sometimes think, should he say that to me? Mm-hmm. Just like Jesus can say to you, do you love me? Lovest thou me? Amazing, amazing truth here. And I commend it to you. And I don't know how much time we got before Jesus comes. He could come today. We know that. He could come today. I don't know how much time we got as far as the end of our life. But, might we every single day love Jesus? Might we be able to say, as Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. I hope he does. I hope we do. And I commend it to you. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to sing a song. I'm not going to sing a song. We're going to sing a song. And so...